Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Speak.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to series 3, episode 15, if you can quite believe that. Tonight I am joined by the lovely Smarty and the not so lovely Gilly. How are you doing, chaps?
Oh, shots fired.
Cheers, fella.
Good evening. Hello, everyone else.
Good evening. How are we both doing? All right.
Yeah. Could be worse.
Could be worse, could be better. We've not got a running order, so anybody watching, we do apologise. It's all off the cuff. You're going to get see us, I was going to say see us naked, but they're probably not naked, but a little bit stripped back, shall we say, for once, and just talking about shit that we like, really, because there's not a lot much more to talk about. But we're going to start in true OKB fashion with our intro.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
Good evening. Yeah, thanks ever so much for joining us in our final pod before the World Cup. We'll probably do something throughout. And for those of you who do follow us on the socials, you will see that we are doing a one-off special pod very, very soon with Leeds band and Leeds fans and friends of the pod, Apollo Junction. We're filming that next week, which I'm looking forward to. What about you two?
You're there, so I'm not looking forward to it.
This week,
this Friday. This Friday,
not next week. Right, a week but I got it wrong then.
yeah. We're sorry, a week Friday, but we're filming it and it'll come out whenever it comes out. But yeah, it's a little bit something to look forward to. Probably looking forward to that more than the World Cup, in honesty, at the moment. and I've not been pissed for a few weeks as well, obviously, because in case you didn't remember, I've had an operation on my knee, lads. I don't know, but
really, tell us more.
So what they did we will start with because that's how we start every pod with the predictions. That's how it's supposed to start. So over to you.
Order no better predictions.
Did you just interrupt yourself with that?
God, fuck knows.
He's got very fast fingers as Gilly, so I've heard.
But you want me?
He's fine. Thank you, Alison. See, somebody does care.
So, three people got points this week. Shithouse is going for the opposition. Obviously, Jason was one of them. Scotty also went for a Spurs win. And Luke went for a Spurs win. And he said, fuck Leeds, I just want the points.
I'm all about the game now.
Unfortunately for those people, they didn't get the scoreline or the score distance right, so it was just 1 point apiece. A Pete's. I did say a Pete's, didn't I?
You're happy with yourself. That would have been a hell of an edit, that. if we'd have screenshotted that picture
second,
then.
Gilly, we lost you. 3 minutes in.
All right, okay. unfortunately, although split by the fans, the two individuals topping the league are Jay on 11 points, then the fans on 8 points, and then Jason on 4 points.
What am I on?
You are on 3 points, joint with me and Smarty.
Yay!
Oh,
we all got minus 5, didn't we?
Who was that against? Was that Fulham?
Liverpool.
Liverpool, of course it was. Sorry.
Liverpool win, didn't they? And they bloody won this. Yeah. Shit. I was just, what they're doing.
Yeah, everybody bad. Yeah, that's why.
Oh, no. Oh, he's struggling. He is toeing tonight, isn't he? Gilly, you are really toeing, mate. I'm glad you can laugh about it. Right then. Anyway, that sort of we'll probably release a some form of breakdown over the festive period, so we all know where we stand going into City at home and the Geordies, the barcodes away on New Year's Eve. Plenty to look forward to. But before we do, as I said before, I've not had the opportunity to watch the game back or even the highlights at this stage yet from the weekend. I was down in the Big Smoke. Well, not even the Big Smoke, really. It's Emirates, so it's like outside of London with the youngest daughter watching the rugby league side getting dicked by Samoa. So, not a cracky weekend for sport, all in all, apart from the cricket, which was lovely.
Yeah, cricket went well.
Yeah, which was worth getting up for on a Sunday. And, Smarty, do you not like cricket?
No.
You look like the type of person who would like cricket. I don't know why.
I've been to a few cricket, mate. I like the drinking part of cricket. I think that's pretty good. But the actual
beer snakes. Have you ever made a beer snake?
You don't even know what a beer snake is. Look at Staten.
What the fuck's that then?
It's where they all put it. I've been to
a Yorkshire.
You like how we both just went like that then?
Yeah. Well, you're good at it. You're top wankers, aren't you? But top tossers even. I've been to a Yorkshire County game, and I've been to was it Nasser Hussein's testimonial, which was rained off. So I've literally been to one.
It was rained off, so you just got pissed.
Yeah. I got pissed instead, which were great. I didn't mind. Well, that's it, really. I've been to Armley twice.
Armley?
Is it Armley? Where is it?
In Edinburgh, even.
Armley's the prison.
What a dickhead.
I don't fucking know. Cricket's shit. It's genuinely fucking shit. The only thing I like about it is that we get to play Australian.
Oh, I'll tell you where he has been. He's been to Old Trafford, hasn't he?
I've been to Old Trafford. Quite a few times, actually. Prison. Yeah, you need to go to prison, you shit house.
So anyway, bring it back down a bit, down to London and Spurs away. I heard it was getting a bit tasty outside. I think there was quite a bit of
I'm just waiting for him.
Good old fashioned well, getting together with the opposition fans and all that sort of stuff. So did you both watch it live or
we're in London? That's the fucking difference.
Jeez. I didn't want to interrupt him.
I was just waiting for it. That's why I said, go on, get on with it.
So, Gilly, I imagine you watched it live on some form of channels.
No, that's not allowed, Your Honour.
Oh, so you watched the highlights then? Cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Extended highlights for 90 odd minutes.
Extended live highlights. Like me.
How was it?
I don't know how they got anything from the game because I didn't think. So Kulusevski played pretty well. Benton Kerr played pretty well. But as a team, they just didn't function. I don't know how they got anything out of that game. We didn't even defend that badly. Do you know, during the game, I actually said, all right, he fucked up for the last goal. But I actually said that Cock wasn't having a bad game. And he wasn't. We looked all right. But we're so fragile. And in actual fact, I thought that, you know, going behind three times away from home, normally, you know, when I've said we're fragile, we'll fall apart, and we didn't. We really didn't. It's difficult when you've scored three goals away from home and you come away with fucking nothing. It's frustrating. It's horrible. I thought we deserved something from game. I really did.
Smarty. I was getting the score lines coming through while I was watching the movie, and I couldn't quite believe the score, what score it was. And then I saw it go 3-2 up with 10 minutes left. I thought, fucking got it. We've got it. And then my phone decided to, you know, when it does that fucking thing and you don't get any signal for 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, I fucking got it. And I got the two.
You got them all through at once.
Two Bentaker goals come through. I've obviously seen the first goal. Spurs goal, with the challenge on Meslier. And I don't want to focus too much on VAR because we all know that it is fit for purpose. It's the clowns running it that just can't work it properly. Like, but how for you? Not only have VAR missed that, but how have two linesmen and a referee missed that in play?
I've no idea. I were perplexed. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I mean, I had one of my mates is a Tottenham fan. I had him round and he was watching it, and even he was saying, yeah, that's gonna get chalked off. That's clearly a foul. And it didn't. But you know, we can't really expect anything from them.
Just as I remember that, don't you have to wear a Spurs shirt?
No, I'm actually gonna hold it. I talked myself out of it.
I said, well, we deserved the win.
Well, that's what I said. Well, morally, we were winning.
Yeah,
we were the real winners morally. So fuck you. But yeah, even he said it would have fouled. It should have been chalked off. You know, I think we were really unlucky. To be fair, you know, not just that. I mean, the deflected goal as well, and the mistake between. That's what I'm saying.
Goals.
The mistake between what it Christensen and Meslier as well. So it was just a bad day at office, innit? But there needs to be something done with that defence. We're just leaking too many goals. We started off the season where we were pretty tight at the back and not scoring enough all. And then now we're scoring plenty and bloody good goals as well. Like Rodrigo's goal were a quality finish.
Hell of a finish.
But we can't stop a pig in a ginnel again. Might have to start bringing the traffic cone stuff out.
Did conceding four goals, did that seem unfair on us, would you say? I mean, did we deserve to? Did we defend that badly? Because I've seen you, Gilly. I've seen you actually praise cock. Not necessarily. But actually,
I wasn't effusive in my praise. I wasn't being critical.
Hallelujah, penis.
Okay.
Everybody's biggest critic, aren't you? Let's be honest. Like over the course of this season so far, he's our worst defender. But I've seen you actually tweet and own up and put your hands up and said, you know what? Other than the last goal they scored, I think Cook's been great.
I thought he played well. He looked solid. He didn't look like he had a mistake in him, and he did everything you'd expect of a player to do in his position. He were fine until that last goal where he just watched somebody just waltz past him, which was a bit frustrating, especially off the back of the fact that he'd actually played well for that game. So it was annoying. They had a fair amount of the ball. They had slightly more shots than we did, I think, but they had more of the ball, and we were under the cosh of it. But I thought that he managed himself pretty well. And I don't think that him and Cooper necessarily played particularly badly. The thing is, something's going wrong somewhere for us to be conceding so many chances. It's not even the number of goals, it's the number of chances we're conceding. Meslier played, you know, you look at the game he had against Liverpool and he were outstanding. He didn't play badly and he conceded four.
Yeah.
We're just giving away too many chances.
That's you know, that's been the frustrating thing. When we've played well in a lot of our games, I probably would say there's probably less than a handful of games this season. I can't comment on the Spurs game, but from what I understand, we've played well and probably deserved at very least a point out of that game. And when you look at the course of the season and how it's run so far, there's probably only three games and probably even in a couple of them, only 45 minutes of them, where we've actually played shit. Do you know what I mean? The whole of Leicester, half of Palace and half of Fulham, and actually probably half of Bournemouth.
Brentford.
Brentford weren't that bad up front
where we were making chances, but yeah, we were absolutely terrible at back.
I suppose what I'm trying to say is, over the course of the season, when you look at actually how we've played and the opposition we've played against, you know, Arsenal, we were the better side. You know, we beat Liverpool, we were the better side, arguably, against Spurs, as I say, can't say.
Battered Chelsea.
Yeah. And then you look at how we play at fucking Leicester away and that. Why are we sort of Jekyll and Hyde, Smarty? Why are we either, like you said, we were shipping goals early. We weren't shipping any goals early on, but we weren't scoring. Now we're probably a bit more free flowing, but that sort of opened the floodgates both ways. Do we need to find an happy medium somehow?
Well, yeah, we do. That's exactly what we need to do. But I think some of the substitutions he's made have been pretty good, depending on, you know, when and who he's made them. Like the Ailing substitution, for me, you're just inviting yourself with, you know, more pressure with having five at the back. We're the middle of the pack where we were losing possession more. We should have had someone to come into the middle of the park with Tyler Adams and bolster the midfield, really, rather than going five at the back. But that's just so my opinion, you know.
That is the change you made, Luke. Towards the end of the game, when he brought Ailing on, I think it was Ailing for Rocker was the change that he made, and we were gifting possession up in midfield. So what we did to counter that was take a midfielder out
and put a more defender on.
Yeah, which is not going to give you any foothold in midfield at all, as Smarty says. It's just going to invite possession. I think for me, bringing Ailing on. So Liam said in the comments, Ailing was the wrong sub at that time. I'm not sure that that's necessarily true, but it was wrong to bring him on for Rocker. And I think that at that point, at the position we're at in the game, if you're trying to shore it up by bringing an additional defender on, you don't sacrifice a midfielder where you're already losing the ball and don't have a foothold in the game. You sacrifice an attacking player. If that's the sub that you're going to make, it's an attacking player that you bring off. Now, our attacking players, I think, played really well. And I think any of them being taken off at that point for that reason can count themselves a bit unlucky that they were taken off. But side before self, it's one of those things. You take an attacker off if you try to shore up the defence.
Yeah. I would have expected to see Click make an appearance, to be fair, at that sort of time at game. Someone who can put a bit of pressure on himself and that works like an absolute horse. You know, trying
were we
to recover 3-2
up then when he brought Ailing on?
Yeah.
Well, we are. We've just gone 3-3.
We might have gone 3-3. I'm not 100% sure, but we were still doing all right. I'm pretty certain we were 3-2 up still, you know.
Because they didn't score there.
We were. Ailing came on 79, and Benton Kerr scored on 81 and 83.
82. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying that's Ailing's fault, obviously, but, you know, it was just inviting pressure onto us more.
So you're saying it's Marsh's fault?
Yeah, it's Marsh's fault.
Yeah.
Suck him.
We go on about how fickle the football fan is in general, and certainly we are as a group and as a podcast and as football fans, and you know, we put pressure on the managers for not making enough substitutions in games early on in the season and even last season, and then now he's making these changes. Has he made the wrong changes in this particular game for you, or do you think actually it's quite sensible? And unfortunately, it's just the players haven't put it in for that last 10 minutes. Do you think it was a sensible? I know you've just said that we probably should have showed up in the midfield, but when you're away at Spurs 3-2 up with 10 minutes to go, that sounds like a sensible. I mean, obviously, it wasn't the right substitution because we ended up going on to lose the game, but that sounds like the right move to me.
Yeah, but of course it was. Of course it was. Sorry, what are you talking to me or to Gilly then?
Sorry.
Mine's a fairly short answer. With hindsight, you know, we look back on it now, you know, with the result, when we think, oh shit, that might have been, you know, a poor decision or maybe not the right decision at the time. But at the time, you know, whilst I was watching the live highlights, I thought, yeah, showed up the defence. But it wasn't until, obviously, Rocker had gone off and Adams got, you know, taken off himself, that you thought, there's a great big gaping hole in the middle of the pitch. Where we don't
Adams
have any players
sent off
anymore.
After 4-3, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After we'd gone 4-3 down. Yeah.
But then there were no one. That's what I mean. There were no one there then. You know, not even Adams on his own. So, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's probably good that I haven't seen the game because I don't know. But to me, the move that Marsh made at 3-2 up.
He had a knee injury, Smarty.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? That's why I didn't come on.
Who did?
That'd be it. Click one available for game. It's Marty said
you weren't even on the bench.
No. I didn't see the team sheet. I only saw the highlights.
It'd have been JB you'd have brought on.
That's the one. Oh yeah, sorry, yeah. Should have brought him on instead. Sort of midfielder. Any midfielder.
Adam Forshaw, Stuart Dallas.
Adam Forshaw, it's fine, just wheel him on. I'm doing one of them bear rolls in the middle.
Forshaw's actually training now, isn't he?
Is he? Archie Gray's was due to be back on grass, but he's had another injury, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, ankle, is it? Done his ankle again.
Forshaw Rev 7.
to answer the question, I don't think it was necessarily the wrong substitution to bring on. It was potentially wrong to bring. So you're two holding midfielders, you're going to take one off because you're under pressure. Mm. That's what went right. And you know, we look at Rocker and we think, has he got a full 90 in him? And they did get through some work. You know, they were putting the effort in. So you look at that and think, well, how many 90s has he played so far this season? He got to late on in the game, and then we changed it. So it might be that he just ran out of steam. And that's why you brought him off more than anything else. But to go five at the back and take one of your holding midfielders off didn't make that much sense, really.
So it looks that way now. And like you say, hindsight's wonderful when you can go into a talk like we're having today. And we know the result of that happening. But look, let's try and focus on a couple more of the positives that have come out of that. We've got Rodrigo sitting on, I think it's 9 league goals, a third of the way through the season. We've got Somerville 4-4. Who else was impressive, obviously, other than those two then?
Just on that, on those names you mentioned, I think I saw a stat, and it wasn't entirely clear if it was a Leeds record or a Premier League record, but it's the first time that two teammates have scored in 4 consecutive games.
Premier League.
Ever?
A new Premier League record, yep.
All about breaking records.
I think they broke the Leeds one last game.
Right.
I think they did the Leeds record the game before against Bournemouth, I believe.
Right then. So, other positives. Obviously, Somerville looks an absolute fucking great player. Almost sort of why have we been using him in the 21 for so long? Rodrigo, right place, right time. His goals, his penalties, but I've not seen his goals from the weekend. I mean,
they were a brilliant effort.
Did you just get one? Got two, didn't he?
Two.
You got two. Somerville got one.
Well, he did.
He did. It was Somerville and two Rodrigo, wasn't it? But the one goal that he scored where he put it in the far corner, that was a cracking finish.
Yeah, I didn't think he were going to make that thing. I thought, oh, this is going over or something like that, and he just nestled in.
Might have P-rolled towards the far corner, but he didn't.
Yeah, go out for the throw-in.
Into Steve
corner. Morrison style.
Yeah. Are we starting to see value for money on the 30 million or what so we paid for him this season?
Difficult to say, innit, I think. I think he's playing well at the moment, as in his shooting and his placement at minute, you can't really knock. Because you guarantee if that had been Bamford, we're playing better up front without Bamford in the squad. That's, you know, it's clearly obvious. And Rodrigo takes his chances. But on the flip side, you don't really see Rodrigo doing much else.
So here's a question. Was Erling Haaland a good bit of business?
Yeah.
Right. So he cost double what Rodrigo did.
Yeah.
And he scored 18 in 13 and Rodrigo scored 9 in 13. So if if you work that out in terms of money spent, mm-hmm. is that value? Well, it looks like it this season.
I think if he continues at his current rate, I mean, he's due to hit 27 or 26 goals, I think I read. I mean, I don't think he will continue at that current rate. Fingers crossed he does, but also got to you know, you've got to take into account he's injured for two of those games as well this season. So
Ireland as well.
Yeah, all right. But anyway.
So if you look at the minutes it's taking him to score a goal, he's getting a goal a game.
Yeah. And I think you've got, I mean, if he gets us 20 goals this season, is that worth 30 million quid?
I think it is in today's market, yeah.
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 What we need to do is hopefully he has an absolutely belting season, like the best season ever. And then someone comes in with a ridiculous sum of cash. And we get rid of him and you get Bamford free. Off you fuck.
And then we sign Benteke.
We'll spunk 60 million on Lukaku and he'll score one goal.
Oh man. Right. I think that's enough on Spurs. You know, we've got a lot to look forward to. Certainly with the youngsters for me. Did Nonto come on?
Nonto started.
He did start, didn't he? How did he get on?
Fine.
Fine.
No
qualms.
He didn't have the impact that he had from the bench against Bournemouth.
I think he's more of an impact player because he's dynamic and small and aggressive, and he gets stuck in, and he's skillful, he's quick. I don't think he'll have the same impact starting on the wing for us. And I still think when Sinisterra's fit, Sinisterra will start on one side, and he will come on. He'll come on from the bench because I think he's going to have, far more impact. He'll be much more important to us as that style of player to be able to come on and make a change in the game. I think
it was the right decision to start him over Harrison, though.
Oh, no, agreed.
At that point, because I think Harrison's had a bit of a stinker. And you're guaranteed that Nonto holds the ball up better than Harrison does. Harrison tries to go past people and loses ball constantly, or he has done for the last few games, hasn't he? He's just losing it all the time. Whereas
void Nonto of all confidence more, in it at the minute.
You know, exactly. And Nonto is not, he's keeping hold of the ball. He's strong. He can keep it away from people. And that's a massive, massive help for us. So,
yeah, I agree. But I think the point that you just made there, Luke, in terms of Sinisterra not being available, we've gone to London and played against the Champions League squad. And we're really disappointed not to have come away with a point.
Yes.
Without potentially our most
arguably our best
threatening attacking player. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's be honest. You know, 3 weeks ago, if we'd have said you could potentially got 6-7 points out of these games, which we nearly did, you'd have been laughed out of the room, wouldn't you?
Even 6 points, I think somebody would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that really scares me, not only are we going to be hitting Man City after a 6-week layoff where Haaland's done nothing but train with us on the brain, but we're going to be doing so without Adams.
Yeah. Yay!
Who I think has actually been our best player this season.
It's all right because Forshaw will be fit by then if he doesn't trip over a fucking piece of grass.
Forshaw will have been fit and injured again by then.
Yeah.
They just need to cryogenically freeze Forshaw now in his current state and then defeat him on fucking Christmas Eve or something. Right, get out.
Sorry, man. We should put a fire on Christmas Day.
Christmas. Right, get it in fucking oven.
I mean, look, at this stage of the season, I mean, you made a wild claim at the start of the season that Jesse Marsh should be sacked by Christmas. There's absolutely no chance of that now because if we get beat 10-0 by City and then fucking 5-0 by Newcastle, he's not getting sacked, is he?
Yeah. He said by Christmas.
I did say by Christmas, but I didn't say at the start of this season. It was when he was appointed last season, I said that he wouldn't make it to Christmas.
Well, that's to be fair,
I know, but, you know, I kind of hoped it had happened because it's a shame. He's bought himself time, hasn't he? By beating Liverpool and doing what he did against Bournemouth, he's bought himself time.
Thing, though? Would you not? I mean, you want him to succeed, don't you?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, it's him.
Why do you
just think
so
he's
much,
shit?
Man?
Because he's shit. He's shit. We keep talking about hindsight and stuff. We were promised Bielsa ball, but more defensively. and more zonal, and we have not got that
because we're still that's not a thing.
Yeah, but obviously it's Marsh ball. Marsh ball was supposed to be Bielsa ball, but more defensive, better defensively. But we're still fucking pretty much like for like as we were last season. All we need to do is half of the squad needs to get injured, and we'll be scraping bottom at bottom.
That is a good point.
So
anyway, Jesse Marsh aside, he's not getting sacked before Christmas. So
no, he's not getting sacked.
So we'll think a lovely man. We'll think of a Christmas forfeit for you.
You sound like me talking about Cock when he was playing shit.
He's a lovely lad.
I don't hate the guy. He's a nice bloke. He's just shit.
I don't vote against him. Don't rate him. But then, we've had this conversation a million times. Who would you bring in? There is no one to replace him, so fuck it.
I think we should...
I'm more Mayor Marsh out now than I was a month ago.
Yeah.
More out now.
Go down with ship. He's got to go down with ship, hasn't he? Titanic style.
I won't be for Spurs. I'm more Marsh out. Coming off the back of the Liverpool and Bournemouth results, I was more Marsh out than I was
Explain
the two previous months. Because I can't cope with how stupid the games are. It's unfathomable.
It's not healthy. It's not healthy, is it?
Yeah, it's not healthy.
What?
You mean to enjoy it with nice football to watch, for Christ's sake?
It was entertaining. If it was nerve jangling, it was entertaining. Now we're nerve jangling and it's shit football.
Exactly.
I don't think it is.
Sometimes I wish I was Jay so I could hide behind my seat and not look sometimes. It's that bad sometimes. But then on the, you know, the flip side of the coin, sometimes we do some really good stuff. Going forward, just, you know, watching Aaronson and Sinisteris, yeah, it's chaotic, which is all right sometimes. There has to be sort of happy medium because we keep going like that all the time.
Under Bielsa, we played the same all the time. All the time, the same, you know, the same intensity, the same pressing, the same, you know, the same players working hard at every game. We lack that consistency with Marsh, and we seem to be under or over motivated in most games for me. And that's a view I've got of my own. I know he's a good motivator because he speaks really well, but I don't know if he's motivating in the right way for the right games. Like Leicester, I mean, the performance at Leicester, you compare that with the, you know, the game before at Arsenal, it was chalk and cheese.
Yeah,
and it's really difficult to fathom and understand Fulham, why
we were quite lucky to only get beat by one goal against Fulham.
Mm. And we were lucky to not be 4-1 down against Bournemouth at half time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we play the better teams and we run them off the park.
And that is frustrating. But the reason I'm more Marsh out now than before is it feels like all that's happened is the youth players. And, you know, I used quite bombastic language. I said he's not ruined them yet.
Bombastic? It's Mr. Fantastic.
Romantic. Fantastic.
He's just in a...
Mr. Love.
He's in a position now where he's been bailed out by youth players. He's promoted into the first team. And that position that he's found himself in they've just saved his job. He's not thought, right, I'm going to put them on and change the tactics like this so that I can influence the game like that and that player can do that. He's not done that. He's just thrown somebody on and they've got him out of the shit. Yes, he's got to make the sub. Yes, he's got to set them up for success. I'm not taking that bit away from him, but it's not his tactics. He's not outthinking the opposition. It's just chaotic. And that's not sustainable.
How do you... Sorry, I'll come to this point in a second, but how do you explain such great performances against Arsenal, against Chelsea, against Liverpool, arguably, although we probably weren't the better side against Liverpool, and we're a little bit lucky with that one, but certainly against Arsenal and Chelsea, I felt we were by far and wide the better side. How
Arsenal
do you explain that?
Not Chelsea was shit on the day. And Chelsea are still shit now.
You think? Shitter than Bournemouth and other teams?
They're not in the lower leagues, but they're not, you know, they're not Man City and Arsenal style. You know, Brighton, Brighton, Newcastle.
I'm on about Arsenal.
Yeah, Arsenal are up there. We played well, but we still lost.
No, we did, but I'm
Remember that time we played fucking brilliant,
I'm
but lost 1-0?
No, I'm talking about... I'm talking about the level of performances, and Gilly's just said that it's not down to Marsh's tactics why we get results and why we play well. Well, how do you explain that if it's not down to his tactics and the style of play? How can you explain good performances if it's not down to him? Do you see what I mean?
I'd love to be able to, but the thing is, you know, we talked about the inconsistency before. So I think we're in that position where, because it's not consistency, it's not what he's doing. You alluded to Bielsa in the way that we played under him. It was absolutely Bielsa's setup that led us to behaving and playing the way that we did. So I think, regardless of whether you win or lose, there was he'd made his impression on that side, and that side played the way that he made them play. I don't see that from Jesse. That's why it's so inconsistent for me, is because it's not a style or them impressing themselves on the game. And it looks to me like you go cause chaos as much as you can and see what happens. Getting the results isn't because that consistency is not there. It's not sustainable to get the level of points that we need to start moving on. I'm still worried that seven teams are the best we can hope for.
Yeah,
fair point.
Especially fair point. If he also goes to Bournemouth.
Well, Ian, hold that thought. Let me just read this question out that we've got, and I'll go to you for this, Matt. Don't you think the inconsistency comes from having lots of new players? Easy for me to say. from having lots of new players pushing for a spot, more team changes, more inconsistency, swings and roundabouts. But for me, we had just as much of that last season, didn't we? Under Bielsa while he was here. So I don't know. What's your thoughts on that, Gilly?
Well, even more so under Bielsa, but I'm not sure that was players pushing for a start. That was the massive, massive injury list that we had.
Papering over.
I think, If a player's training well enough, you introduce them. You don't want to introduce everybody all at once. But if he'd not done that, I think he'd be out of a job. Because if you don't bring Willie on and you don't bring Somerville on in those games that they've had the impact in, I think he'd be gone by now. If we'd have not got those results against Liverpool and Bournemouth, I think he'd already be gone.
I agree.
It would have fuck it. What's worse that could happen? Sort of substitution. Yeah.
It felt very much like, but it's Southgate. There was somebody at Borough that just used to go, right, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm just having five strikers on pitch all at once, and I'm sure we'll pox a goal from somewhere. And they did for a bit. But it wasn't sustainable.
Okay.
One more quick comment from Liam. We were the better side against Spurs for 75 minutes. The last 20, we fell apart. Is that a true reflection? I'd say
the better side. I think when you're comfortable not having the ball, yes, you can say that, but you need that context because they dominated possession, they dominated the game. But we were aggressive in the areas that you expect a Marsh side that we've seen so far to be aggressive in. You know, when we were pressing well. We were letting the centre backs have the ball because it's Dyer and his shit. So it's that. But we were in that position where we were comfortable them having possession, and then we were direct and we had the ball. So in that, you can say, yeah, we impacted the game, but it wasn't a pretty watch, I wouldn't have said.
No, fair enough. All right, we'll have a quick break for an advert, and then we'll come back and just touch on that point that you made a moment ago or two, Gilly.
CBD are a family company with a local shop feel, and exist to continue to promote the obvious and immediate benefits of CBD products while keeping the cost to you, the consumer, as low as possible. You'll find multiple flavours available on our site, answers to frequently asked questions and suggestions on what is right for you, as well as a web form for you to get in touch. There's free delivery on orders over £50, and don't forget to use the Auto Know Better discount code of OKB10 for 10% discount of all products. Lastly, a portion of all profits will be donated to mental health charities.
Thank you ever so much to Gilly and the dulcet tones of Apollo Junction in the background there. So you mentioned a real good point there, and I don't want to spend too long on it because it's been bothering me a little bit. And that is the possibility of Marcelo Bielsa arriving back in the Premier League sooner than anybody anticipated, because I thought it'd never happen. What are your thoughts on that, Smartio, my old chap. Do you think he's going to come? Do you think he's stupid enough to take on that sort of job? Does it suit him?
Who knows? Who knows? I'm like you. I was very surprised that he'd even entertain something like that. But, you know, I don't really know the ins and outs of and the workings of Bournemouth. So who knows, you know. I'm sure Bielsa's already got the blueprints for the stadium and the training grounds and the last 3 years of performances and the stats and all that sort of shit under his belt. But I don't know. I'm a bit 50-50 with it. I'd love to see him back. I would genuinely love to see him back in the Premier League. But at the same time, I'm not, because he's going to be playing against.
Is it not like, would it not feel like, you know, you know, your granddad gets divorced, gets like a
an uglier
bird. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
An uglier, smaller, more shriveled, like nasty little raisin of a bird. Do you know what I mean?
It's like. And I don't mean to be offensive when I say this. It's like having a foster parent that when you move on and then he takes on someone else and nurtures them instead. And you're like, I wish that were me still. No, it's just, that is how I feel, genuinely.
Like on the because job was,
he was my dad and now he's someone else's dad. It's not fair. Yeah. You know? So I don't know. I don't know.
How do you feel about it, Gilly?
I think they're cheating. They should go down to fucking Championship first and bloody earn it. That's what I think. Bollocks to them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll tell you my thoughts in a moment. But Gilly, how would it make you feel on a more personal level? Not take away the football and the style and what it might bring to Bournemouth, but how would it actually make you feel? We've obviously got murals around the city. We've got, you know. Half of our fans are still in love with him and got their profile pictures of him and stuff like that. You know, what will it do to us, do you think, as a family?
Jack Duckworth tattoos of him still.
I'd be gutted. I'll be absolutely gutted. I think, you know, we talked about the impact that he'd had on all of us, but not just us as football fans. He had a massive, massive impact on the city. He united the city, and that's not an exaggeration. There was somebody that were having a go at him. I don't know if you saw this. And you know, from time to time, I tend to have some arguments on Twitter. I don't know if you've noticed.
Really?
But there was somebody that called him arrogant, and I wasn't having any of it at all. Oh, and this was a Bournemouth fan. I was not having any of it. And I didn't intend to incite a pylon, but that might have been the outcome of my responding to them. But yeah, I want to have he's such a gracious guy. His integrity is unquestionable for me. So I think somebody that you can, you know, there's not many personalities in football that you can say that about. And I think personally, as a man, I'll be gutted to see him. You know, we said it, and I think you pointed out that we'd already played him at home. But if he's there next season and we're there as fans and he's in a dugout at Elland Road and it's not ours, I'll be devastated. And I'll chant his name and I'll be gutted that he's not on our bench or crouched in front of our bench instead of there.
See, I'm forever, ever, forever thankful for what he did for us. And I think he was an absolute gem of a human being. I just genuinely think he was a nice guy. Do you know what I mean? He didn't have a bad bone in his body. He paid the fine when we got done for spying and all that bollocks. And he's just a gracious, gracious man and a true human. But for me, I support Leeds United. And if he's in another dugout, I won't be singing his fucking name. And it's as simple as that. You know, I know he knows owes us nothing. He owes us nothing. And I'll be gutted. I will be gutted. I'll be more gutted that he's chosen to go. Because it'll be inundated with offers around the world. It will. It will be getting offers left, right and centre. And for him to come back to the Premier League would break me to a point where he's made his decision. He owes us nothing. I completely understand that. He was sacked. But that was not...
That was the board, though. And they had to make that decision. But on a human sort of note, I would be gutted if he would agree to take a job and play against us, who apparently, you know, he loved the city, he loved the club and all that sort of stuff. He hadn't done it. He hadn't been back to any other country that he's managed in. He won't go back to Argentina because he don't want to play against Newell's Old Boys. How can I play against, you know, how can I manage a team and go and play in a stadium that's named after me and all that stuff? Yeah. You know, maybe I'm being a little bit, you know, cynical or whatever, but I'd be like you. I'd be absolutely good. I would generally be
good. I can't see it happening. And I'll tell you why. I mean, I don't think... Yeah. So the rumours have started that this guy who's buying Bournemouth has had positive conversation with him. So this guy doesn't even own Bournemouth yet. So that's the first stumbling block. Secondly, can Bournemouth afford to pay somebody £6 million when they've only got a stadium of 15,000 fans? Something along those lines. Can they afford that? I don't know.
Well, they've got promotion money and stuff.
Yeah, no, look.
It's not just that. If the new owner comes in, he's coming in with some cash, isn't he? It all lies on that.
We didn't have any money, but we can just spunk 18 million on fucking players that don't even play for us.
The other thing is the style of football they play and the level of football they play is you couldn't be further away from what Bielsa would expect. It couldn't be. We've seen it. They've got two big lumps up front and they kick it to them. That's what.
Yeah, but
got.
We were playing Ekin ball, Ekin bottom ball.
No, we weren't. No, we were playing Monk. We played all right under Monk, to be fair.
Yeah, but we were still playing Eckingbottom ball when Bielsa took over.
We were still finishing 15th in Championship.
It was Eckingbottom and then fucking Bielsa. It was shit.
No, it wasn't. It was Monk, wasn't it?
We've had two managers since Monk, mate. Christiansen went after Monk and then Eckingbottom took over him. And then they fucked him off.
I remember it was fucking awful. But anyway.
It was dog shit, mate. That's why it was so special. And this is the thing. Yeah. It was so special because we were used to seeing shit football that season. Whip ball, we art ball, dickhead. From fucking Barnsley, and then this glorious man came, took these absolute average wankers and turned them into the best footballing side in the Championship for 2 years.
Right, you've hit the nail on the head there as well, Smarty. Right, Championship. He made the best team in the Championship. Right.
Yeah.
This is going to upset probably a lot of people. Right. If he came to Bournemouth in 6 weeks throughout the World Cup or whatever, he's not going to transform that team in the Premier League to be able to, first of all, play his style, but also to play a different enough style to the style that got worked out and we were getting spanked every week.
Yeah.
Do you know?
All he's got to do is improve him 5% to keep him up.
Exactly.
If he improves every player 5%, he keeps him up.
I don't think so.
I do. Yeah, but if you look at the rest of the teams in the league, if he improves every player they've got 5%, which he is a world-class coach, whatever you think about his playing style and it being found out, he's a world-class coach.
I completely agree. They're a point above us in table.
Yeah. So I think, you know, you look at...
Bournemouth.
Yeah, Bournemouth, heard of us, yeah.
Fucking hell. What do you think about Bournemouth League or something? This is why we're like, what the fuck's he on about? Like serving them. They're a point above us. There's not all they need to do.
They've played a game more.
They're shit.
Yeah, they have. But
I mean, look at the style of football that they're playing. They're the Burnley of this season, aren't they?
They put three past us and they made us look shit as well.
They did, but we still beat them.
But I think you look at the league though, and I think so Wolves look awful, but I think they've made a good appointment in their coach. You look at Saints, and they've just decided to accept relegation now with who they've brought in. And then you look at, he's gone, hasn't he? So you're looking at Everton. They've got a shite coach, so they'll be down there unless they move him on. But the thing that we've got is, lots of sides might make changes over the World Cup break because this is an unprecedented break in a Premier League. So we don't know what we're gonna hit in the new year because it might be that Lampard's been sacked because they've realised that he's shite and they're going down with him. I mean, Saints, I'm completely perplexed with what Saints are actually playing at because bringing him in when all his, what was it, Luton is the only time he's ever had any form of success. But it Stokey went to, and he was just absolutely shite. So I think you know, they're down. West Ham are below us, and that in itself is crazy. But they'll improve. Leicester, you could see, you know, Rodgers still in charge. They've still got Vardy. They've still got wingers that are scoring goals. Madison's playing well. You could see that Leicester had enough quality to get out of the situation that they were in. I think West Ham will go up the league. I think Leicester will go up the league. I think if he gets hold of Bournemouth and makes the improvements that we've seen him make,
I just don't think he's got enough time.
I think he'll keep him up.
The middle of a season, the style of football is so different to what they've got, what they've played. It's different.
But he only had 4 weeks with us ahead of the stat that Stoke did.
When did Eddie Howe take over at Newcastle?
Who?
At what point in season? When did Howe take over?
Last January. I thought it was December.
Just before. I think it was. But the thing is, they fucked what's his name off? How's a bacon? Did you say they brought Howe in, and he had a couple of weeks, but he had a window to employ some better players, and they were at the bottom of the frigging Premier League, and they ended up in frigging like ninth or tenth.
Imagine new chairman backs him as well and gives him some
that's,
money.
That's what I'm saying. So you bring in a new manager, say it's Bielsa, you give him a shitload of cash, right? I identify these three players because they're not a bad team.
Hopefully it's Click, Forshaw and fucking Cooper or something like that.
Bamford. But then again, Solanke's better than Bamford. So, but like I say, you can't say it's impossible. Marshall gets sacked. Fucking get rid of him. Get someone else in. Give him a couple of spondules. Buy us an actual left back. Buy us a fucking striker. And then happy days. Ninth.
Fair. Nah, I'm easy. Anyway, that's enough on Bielsa for me because I don't think it'll happen realistically. I hope it won't happen realistically. And if it does, I will applaud him. Yeah, but will you see me singing his name anymore? Absolutely not.
If Bournemouth employ Bielsa, Bournemouth is getting wrecked in it again.
Big time. Oh, yes. Big time.
Fucking bank holiday. Fuck. I mean, we're all singing, we'll do it.
In fact, that's what it is. I've not picked up on. That's why they're saying they don't want him. They're just scared of what we're going to do to their town.
Oh, Jesus Christ, don't bring them bastards down again. No, please. Oh, fuck, it's happening again. It's like we were singing, we'll do it again, we'll do it again. We trashed the town or whatever. We smashed up Bournemouth, we'll do it again. We were singing that to them from South Stand. No, you won't. Please don't.
Right. We're going to do something a little extraordinary right now. I'm going to try and share my screen and we're going to do the...
browser history.
Clear that midget phone.
Check.
Hang on a minute. That one.
He's having a look now.
No, I'm just trying to get it on. So we're going to do the draw for CB. So everybody who entered gets a team in the sweepstakes. We're going to run it really, really quickly and see who
everybody
gets. Well, everybody who entered, yeah. Well, not everybody. Sorry, I had to let a few people down because there was that many entries. Because on that, it's
so bloody popular.
Everybody wants 50 quid store credit for CBD, apparently. So really, really quickly, just going to fly through this. I don't know if it's going to work, so I haven't tested it. So this is a trial run as well. So here we go. Generate World Cup sweep. Oh, there we go. Have we got somebody? Has that moved?
Properly.
No. Has it worked?
Don't know. Looks like it.
What's it doing?
Is it you that's scrolling? Just scroll to names. Scroll down a bit.
Hang on, I need to put a name in it.
Jesus.
Here we go.
This poor preparation, lad. Oh.
Live draw.
Ooh. Ah. Ooh.
Oh, Brazil.
Stanley Epkiss. Oh, Tanya Sullivan. Who's that?
Oh, Gary's got.
Gaza's got Argentina. Aren't they favourites?
Yeah. One of them.
Argentina are favourites. How are Argentina favourites? Brazil are.
I've seen it.
Brent's got Wales.
They'll still get better further than us. Ash Birch.
South Korea.
He'll end up with a bloody South Korea bloody shirt and with Sonnet back in.
Ryan Kenny with whoever the hell that is. Costa Rica.
Yesisenko.
Mexico. Switzerland. Imagine getting Switzerland.
Imagine getting fucking Uruguay.
Rather than that than Qatar.
Oh, it's smart. Who are you going to get?
Are you in it, Luke?
Am I in it? I thought you'd taken me out.
No, you're staying
I'm definitely getting Qatar, mate. 100%. 100%.
Well, Emmy's absolutely got Belgium. Belgium have got to be one at favourites, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, where's it? Gibbo's got Denmark.
Oh, dear.
Jay's got Japan. Jay!
I thought you'd taken Jay out as well.
No, I left it. I just didn't know.
I thought you'd taken Paul.
Michelle
Turner. I thought you'd taken all the pod lads out.
No, I left you all in. I just did it in order, mate. I thought it's only fair the first 32 people get an entrance.
Vanessa Adams. Ecuador.
Ecuador!
Oh, I think. Well, I didn't get Qatar. Oh, that's a bonus.
Oh, get Guadsma. Oh. I'm not even sure who's left, to be honest, mate, for you.
And Paul Soudan's there.
Someone really shit. I don't think I've seen Germany yet.
Netherlands in a Netherlands in a bad side. I mean, they all always do shit. To be fair,
who's this? Oh,
Jesus!
Well, that's me out. I'll end up getting like a little gummies wrapper in post or something as a booby prize.
That's it.
John says Bielsa John, innit? Oh, Germany!
I were hoping for Germany. That's what I ain't seen.
I think that's is that everybody?
John K's Bielsa John, isn't it?
Yeah, that's everybody.
Portugal's not a bad draw.
What I will do, I will break this down and share it in an
who's got Brazil?
Table view, there we go, that'll be easier.
Lima Cone.
So what I'll do is I'll take a screenshot of this and share it with you all when I get chance on all the socials. Well done to everybody who entered. There's your teams for your 50.
Well done.
Well done, everyone. Well played. Right, that takes us on to the next topic of conversation, which we'll have 5 or 10 minutes on, lads. And that is how enthusiastic are we about Qatar?
Enthusiastic.
2022?
Got to do with chickens.
How enthusiastic are you?
I'm really excited.
Right. How are you feeling about it all, Gilly? I know you've been quite vocal on this.
Unusually for me.
Yeah. So the World Cup, look, it starts on the 20th, which is a Sunday, which is bullshit anyway. It should start on a Friday night. The opening ceremony. Not only that, it's in the middle of a season and it's in Qatar. Could it be any worse?
Sepp Blatter, who pocketed all the money for giving them the World Cup in the first place, himself says that it's a bad idea. the icing on the cake was that it led to me having to agree with Klopp, which is just awful. Really awful. I don't like that at all. So, can it get any worse? Yes, it can get slightly worse, in as much as something I saw today was that the England players will be flying to Qatar in a Pride aeroplane, which is fucking nothing but virtue signalling bullshit.
What do you mean, like a rainbow coloured aeroplane?
Think so. That's what it said.
Like Austin Powers.
John Stone, baby. And
Harry Maguire on Love Bed spinning round.
It just should not be happening. It shouldn't be happening, but we can't do what about it. It's the politicians at the top of football that make the decisions, and they make the decisions based on who's going to pay them most money, don't they? It's all corrupt. It's all bullshit. It's rotten from the inside out.
It's like VR.
What you call it, don't they? They announced Russia and Qatar almost at the same time. Do you remember when they released who was getting the World Cups in 2018, 2022? And I remember hearing that and just thinking, what the actual fuck? Like, Russia, first of all, and then fucking Qatar. Like, it just shows
Vladimir that hadn't been a naughty boy then.
Even so, though, there's
still twats. It shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, I'm not saying it won, but he hadn't been as naughty as he is now.
I remember 4 years ago watching the build-up. Well, it was longer than 4 years ago, so it actually happened in the summer, but seeing videos of all these Russians training, fighting in parks and that for all hooligans and that, and just literally fucking fuck out of each other training. And then Qatar
Juzby Park does same.
Cronin, the from same region as well.
Every Qatar, Sunday, 8 o'clock, lads, if you want to come down, it's great.
In Qatar, they're having to pay fans to dress up as different nationals. These are locals. to sing songs and wave bastard flags.
Have you seen Inglourious Basterds with Brad Pitt when he tries imposing as like Italian?
Buongiorno.
With that amazing accent. It's as bad as Mary Poppins, isn't it?
That
famous Cockney accent.
I just can't get excited.
It properly stinks. Everything's wrong with it. It's at the wrong time. You know, we're dealing with the build-up to a World Cup. I've barely seen any of it because all the shops are getting ready for Christmas, not getting ready for World Cup. It's not World Cup memorabilia everywhere. All the shops are telling you about Christmas and shit. There's no songs coming out. Have you heard Back Home yet? I haven't heard it once, but for last major tournament, I did a World Cup of football songs. I've not seen anything on social media. I've not seen it. People don't care. And actually, that is a good thing because people don't care about it. For the right reasons, I think. We're talking, there's US prosecutors that are on about, we've seen details of FIFA officials taking bribes, and that's why there's a Qatari World Cup. Now, nothing's ever been proven, and those football politicians, because that's all they are, is politicians, they're just related to FIFA instead of a state or whatever. They've all left the organisation. Well, of course they have, because they've got bundles of cash hanging out of their pockets. It all stinks. And then you've got you've got the fact that they've bussed in people that it's tantamount to modern slavery that work in horrible conditions, and then the story goes that they bust them away and say, oh yeah, none of them have turned up for work today. When FIFA's officials turn up to inspect, they bust them away for the day and then bust them back again. It's just everything, all of it stinks. I said before about I'll have a little bit of sympathy for somebody that's followed England for 30 years and they go to the tournament because they don't want to miss out on that. I don't anymore, actually. I've changed my mind on that. Fuck that. If you're going out there,
welcome to the
as
club.
A fan. Yeah, if you're going out there as a fan, nah, I'm sorry, I'm not having any of that. You can bollocks.
Spoken 200 bloody quid a night on a porter cabin.
It's not quite as bad as them fuckers in the England band that are grassing on fellow fans. But it's pretty fucking shocking. But you know what we can't do is, for me, this is my opinion, you can't have a go at the players. You know, the players have a limited number of tournaments, and some of those players might only get one. There's no guarantee that they're going to be going to the next tournament at all. They might get a career-ending injury in 2 months' time and never play again. I don't think you can be too critical of the players, but it shouldn't be happening.
Do you know what frustrates me more about with the timing of it is some players are going to get injured at the World Cup, and that is going to affect their club's finishing position in the table. That could be the difference between a club getting relegated, a club making Europe, or a club missing out on a cup or whatever. It's just absolute bollocks that they've actually restructured the whole of world football, club football, for this shambles of a fucking World Cup.
You freak injuries happen. Tyler Adams looks like he's I'm not going to say it and then cause it myself but he doesn't look like an individual that gets a lot of injuries, but freak injuries happen. You look at Dallas. Dallas has actually, it sounds like he's played through injuries most of his career, but he just plays every game anyway, regardless of what his injury level is. And then freak injuries occur. Imagine having a finish. You know, we're talking every morning the fact he's got sent off and we're going to be without him against Man City. Imagine being without him for the rest of the season because he's turned out for the USA in a stupid poxy tournament during the season. The entire thing, all of it, there's nothing that's right about it at all.
Nah, bollocks. Absolute bollocks it is. Question, Smarty. Would you get excited if we make it into the groups, out of the group stages into, say, the quarters, semis? Would you start to get excited a bit then and forget where it is and stuff?
I think, you know, once we've all said this bit, and I think once the tournament actually starts, I may get a bit of a buzz for it. But it's like Gilly said. I mean, Gilly's pretty much, you know, cleared the deck with what he said. I can't not agree with everything that he said. You know, it's just wrong. It's the shittiest time of year to start doing stuff. No one gives a fuck. There's a World Cup shop across the road from Elland Road shop now. And there wasn't a single person there. It's basically a big truck that's rolled up that they parked outside the Elland Road Megastore. And there was not one single person there the other day when I went. And I went Friday afternoon, and there were fucking loads in Elland Road shop, and not a single person outside the World Cup shop. Because no one gives a tiny rat's ass. Not even, like you said, I've not heard it's coming home yet. Normally, that's weeks before, you know, especially to Welsh. I've got loads of Welsh mates. I send them voice clips. It's coming up. Oh, I got this prick again. You know, it's just, I'm not asked. But, you know, once it starts, I'm sure I'll be a little bit more invested in it. But I just don't think we're going to get past last 16 anyway. I don't even think we might get out of the group. But, you know.
Would you be surprised if we didn't?
Yeah.
No.
You know, you look at what we've done in the previous tournament. But coming into this tournament, you know, we lost five on the bounce, and one of them were a 4-0 thrashing at home against Hungary.
Hungary
were good in the 50s. Fuck me. So, I wouldn't even be surprised if we didn't get out of group. And just what my last thought on it is fuck Gary Neville.
Yeah. Mm. That is a fair comment.
Yeah, but fuck, if you fuck Gary Neville, then fuck everyone else that's going over there. Fuck Laura Woods.
Absolutely, yeah, but he's been the one that's been so vocal and so socialist and so left-wing about all of it, and then all of a sudden he's going over and taking all the cash for being there. Nah, that's even worse than not being outspoken and going.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I agree. I mean, to play devil's advocate, I suppose there's an element of if you don't go and be there, then you're going to be squared and probably, I won't say that they'd sack him or not use him, but you're kind of tarnishing your reputation as a pundit. But like you said, at the same time, he's already done it anyway by being so outspoken and being so against it, but going anyway.
Yeah.
So
he just made himself a hypocrite.
He's just made himself a look at it, hasn't he? But
that's a problem. And I think the way he's gone about it by saying I'm doing it to raise awareness, it's not, but that's bollocks, isn't it? Like, if you're so against something, you do not fucking go to raise awareness by doing exactly what you say you're against.
It'd have been better not saying anything and just taking the money.
Just doing it like every fucker else who was going
out. Like every other fucker that's going out there and has kept a squeaky clean slate because no one knows.
Squeaky clean slate. it's almost as though, well, he didn't get the gig, so he's going to speak out against it. And oh, hang on a minute, somebody else is giving me some cash. I'm going to go with them instead. And I'm only doing it so I can raise awareness. Everybody's aware already. People are aware. People are now aware that he's a massive hypocrite.
Yeah, absolutely. And that probably ties up any alternate bit as we had. I think we've probably covered them in that last part. But yeah, I think, do we look forward to the World Cup? No, I think, but as we've all said, we are relative, and we keep mentioning it, how fickle and how quickly we can change our minds. But I think if we get out the group stages, and I'm in a pub singing fucking God Save the King, you know, pissed out of my head.
I'll still sing God Save the Queen, me. Bollocks.
We'll all get it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
No, even just because I think he's a prick anyway. I'll still sing God Save the Queen.
Oh, God.
Up the Liz. Fuck
if you're watching this, Charlie, it is not a view of the pod. It is just of an individual. He'll be watching a Villa pod anyway, won't he?
Yeah. Shit.
Bastard. Isn't that his young'un?
I don't know.
Harry and
anyway, any closing comments, gents? Anything else you'd like to add or say?
I felt really, really old today when I read that the child that is Aaron Lennon has retired.
Yes,
this is crazy news. It feels like he should still be in his early 20s.
Fair play to him, though. He's come out and obviously been battling various demons and things recently in the past. And he was open about it. So I think he's been through a bit of a tough time. He's not been getting much game time, if any, at Burnley. Is he at now?
I know he was. I'll take your word for it.
But yeah, look, had a decent career, bless him. And I think he was one of the most exciting wingers I think we had come through. When he came through
and
had a very, very good career. So yeah, best of luck to you, whatever you do in your retirement, Aaron Lennon.
I think. To answer your question, Smart, he's 35.
Really?
Great age. Great age.
You're older than him. Christ.
Can't believe I'm younger than him, can you?
No, I can't. I really can't.
He's there looking like Rabsy fucking Nesbitt.
Apart from Rabsy, he's got hair and a string vest. But
Well, here he is! Class.
You twat. Saved it. And on that note, yeah, keep an eye out. We'll probably do the odd here and there throughout the World Cup. Has anybody got any ideas? Do we know what we're doing yet? We're just going to play it by ear.
Depends.
No idea at all. I've not even done it yet.
I'm on with Russ tomorrow. I don't know if that's going to be live or not. He's going to be doing a bit of a build up to the World Cup. So do follow Russ Vernon. Give him a follow his channel and everything. I think myself and Joe Wimman are going to be on with him tomorrow. Don't know, is it going to be live, Russ? Do you want to tell us? Is it live or is it going to be a recording that you're going to
coming in your ears?
Yeah, I look forward to that. But yeah, that's going to be a World Cup type show. We've obviously got the thing coming up with Apollo Junction. So if you like music and football,
you massive hypocrite! I can't believe you're doing a World Cup show. You big hypocrite! Fuck you!
Then how wrong it is, and then he's going on Russ's show talking about World Cup. And how great it's going to be!
I like
Gary Neville here.
Hey, let's not start talking about scummers, eh?
Yeah.
Talk about
it as much time, as you like. I don't give a
first fuck. Time I've heard him quiet, nothing to say.
What's Russ's channel called?
Just put that in the chat as well or in the comments so people can find it. I'm sure you'll get plenty of people coming along. Russ is a good friend.
Oh, there we go. Pre-recorded to be played out on Saturday evening.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, Russ, if you just type the name of your channel in there as well, we'll highlight that comment so people can find it. Lovely lad is Russ, loves his footy, knows his stuff, does a little bit for Rotherham United, I think, on their match days, and right. Big Leeds fan. So, yeah, go give Russ a follow. Thank you, gents, for joining me for this off-piste, shall we say, episode.
Yeah,
look forward to like seeing you all for a few beers a week Friday, and then the podcast coming out with Apollo Junction. Keep your eyes peeled for the channel on the channel for any other videos and gets togethers and podcasts and shit.
Just shut it off.
Yeah, just cheers. Fuck off. Are you not doing it now?
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts.
with 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.